My goodness, what wonderful singing. Thank you, David, choir and musicians. And I've been hearing the name Jack Price for many, many years. What an honor to hear him sing tonight. And what a wonderful singer. What a wonderful song. I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy." We hear a lot today about praise and worship. Praise and worship go together. I guess you could say they are synonymous, yet there is a distinction between praise and worship. When we praise, we lift up. When we worship, we bow down. Tonight, I want us to do both. I want us to lift up the Lord Jesus, and I want us to bow down before Him. Wonderful music. I want you to take your copy of the Word of God and be finding with me now the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 14. I would invite you to be finding with me the 14th chapter of the book of John. And after you find your place in John 14, turn over a page or two and be finding John chapter 16. I want to read one verse from John 16, but we'll begin our reading at John chapter 14 and to connect these verses of Scripture together. And we're going to study the Word of God tonight. While you're turning there, let me say what a joy, what an honor, what a privilege that it is to be back at Morningside in Valdosta for the Bible Conference. Last year, Dr. Wayne Robertson was so gracious to invite me to be part of this wonderful conference that's been happening for many years now. And he was so gracious to invite me back. I've been in some places where one chance is all you get. But you let me come back. And last year, I remember you were so kind to me. You were so friendly to me. You treated me with such hospitality. And Wayne and Beth Robertson, I believe, class act. And thank you, preacher, for allowing me to come and stand in your pulpit. I've been around Brother Wayne the past few years, mostly in Duluth, Georgia, at the administration committee meetings. And Brother Wayne is someone that I admire, I look up to, and I respect. So I am just honored and humbled to be part of this conference in some small way. I was looking at the lineup of preachers, and all of these men are my heroes. I see Brother Herman Parker over here, and I love Brother Herman. He is a great encourager to me. He's my neighbor. He lives in the county just below us, and for some reason, Brother Herman, you and I don't get to see each other much at home, but we see each other all over this state at various events, so it's good to see Brother Herman. I was checking into the hotel this afternoon, and a distinguished gentleman walked in, and he had on that suit with that red tie, and his wife had on that lovely red dress, and they just looked so good together. I had just got there. I was sweating. I had on a t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops. And I tried my best to hide from Brother Herman. But he saw me, and I said, "Preacher, I'm not going to go to church like this tonight." But it is 100 degrees, you know. What a joy to be in this place. Good to see Dr. Milliken again. I met him last year, and I appreciate his scholarship. He challenges me, and I'm so thankful for men of God who have been faithful to the Word of God all of these years. And your pastor is good to me. You know why he's good to me? Because he lets me preach before Mike Stone and not after Mike Stone. You don't want to preach after Brother Mike, and I see that he's back there, and good to see one of my dear friends, great preacher, great church, and God is using Brother Mike tremendously within the ranks of our Southern Baptist Convention. I don't know about you tonight, but I need to hear what the preacher has to say. I need a word from the Word. You're looking at a pastor tonight. God has blessed me, but I don't always have my act together. In fact, sometimes I struggle. So I'm going to preach just a little bit. I'm going to be conscious of time, And then I'm going to walk down those stairs and sit down and listen to God's man preach the Word of God. But I want to share with you tonight what's on my heart, John chapter 14. If I could recommend one Bible book to an unbeliever or a brand new believer, without a doubt, without question, it would be the Gospel of John. There are 66 books which comprise the canon of Scripture. And each and every one of those Bible books points us to Jesus. Every book in the Word of God is about Jesus. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for they testify of me." Hebrews says that the volume of the book is written of Him. You've heard it said before, this book is a hymn book. It's all about Him. But I believe that we see our Lord presented in the Gospel of John like none other. There's something special about John's Gospel. There's something very precious about the Gospel of John. I like how this book begins. It begins in John 1:1, "In the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God." And then as we navigate through the pages of John's Gospel, we seem to find our Lord on every single page. And now we come to the 14th chapter of John. What a classic chapter it is. I like how this chapter begins in verse number 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." Someone needs to hear that tonight. Let not your heart be troubled. And then Jesus begins to talk to us about those things which will happen in the future. He talks about the Father's house and many mansions. He says, "I'll come again and receive you unto myself." And there's going to be a celebration in heaven, Brother Jack. Hallelujah. I can't wait. And we come now to our passage. And Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit will come." Ladies and gentlemen, everything changed when the Holy Spirit came. And Jesus says, "I'm going to ask the Father. I'm going to talk to the Father. I'm going to pray to the Father. And He will send a Comforter." That is our background. That's the context. So now let's notice the Word of God together. John 14, look at verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." Brother Wayne, in my Bible, Comforter is capitalized. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit. "That He may abide with you forever." He's going to live with you forever and dwell with you forever. And watch this. Once He moves in, He's never moving out. He's here to stay. Even the Spirit of truth, in my Bible, the word Spirit is capitalized. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Brother David, the Holy Spirit is not just around me or upon me. Praise God, He's within me. And then look at verse 18. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without a Comforter. I will come to you." Look at verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." Time out. Brother Mike, there's a family in our church there in Polk County, and they come from a Pentecostal charismatic background, and they are live wire. They will shout at the drop of a hat, and they'll drop the hat. And they told me years ago, "Preacher, we don't like to say Holy Spirit. We prefer to say Holy Ghost." And I said, "Well, then say Holy Ghost." We've got a Methodist family that just joined our church a few years ago, and they tend to be a little more liturgical and ceremonial in their worship. And they said to me, "Pastor, we don't like that Holy Ghost talk. We prefer to call Him Holy Spirit." I said, "Well, then call Him Holy Spirit. Whether you call Him Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, we're talking about the same one. We're talking about the same person. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things." I have graduated from 4 universities. I know I don't look like it, but I have. The Holy Spirit has taught me more than any university. I went to a Southern Baptist seminary, and it was a good seminary. I got a good education there. But the Holy Spirit has taught me more than the seminary. The Holy Spirit has taught me more than any Baptist I know. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Turn over and look at John 16 and verse 7. Jesus is just continuing His teaching lesson on the Holy Spirit. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Brother Mike, Jesus always tells the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It is expedient for you. It is to your advantage. It is to your benefit. It's good for you that I go away. Now, Brother Herman, that's strange. Jesus says, it's going to be better for you when I go away. "For if I go not away," notice this, "the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart and go away, I will send Him unto you." 3 times in the verses that we've just read, we find that title, that name, that word, Comforter. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit Comforter. Now, you may call Him Advocate. That's a good word. You may call Him Helper. That's a good word. But Pastor, I like what our Lord says. When He calls the Holy Spirit Comforter, notice again verse number 7. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." Look at John 14, verse 16. "He shall give you another Comforter." Look at verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." And then verse 18. Jesus says, "I will not leave you without a Comforter. I will not leave you comfortless." I think you can read verse 18 this way. "I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not leave you as a child without a parent. And whatever you need, that's just who I am. Whatever you need, that's just what I'll do. If you need a father, I'm your father. If you need a mama, I'm your mama. If you need a husband, I'm your husband. If you need a wife, I'm your wife. If you need a friend, I'm your friend. If you need a brother, I'll be your big brother. I will not leave you without comfort. I'm going to ask the Father. I'm going to talk to the Father. I'm going to pray to the Father. And Jesus says, He will send another Comforter. I want to preach tonight for just a little while, briefly, if God would help me, on this subject, the ministry of the Comforter. The ministry of the Comforter. We're talking tonight about the sweet Holy Spirit. Now I want to answer some questions, if I may, as I teach and preach. I want us to consider who He is, where He is, and what does He do? The ministry of the Comforter. I've been in the Baptist church all my life, 50 years. In fact, I was in the Baptist church 9 months before I was even born. And that's all I know, Pastor. But I've noticed something about us Baptists, and I can talk about us because I are one. We talk a lot about God the Father, and we should. We talk a lot about God the Son, and we should. But for some reason, choir, we don't say very much about God the Holy Spirit. It seems like He's the most misunderstood person of the Godhead. And one of the most misunderstood doctrines in the church, I believe, is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Milliken, sometimes we maybe even get a little bit antsy when somebody starts talking about the Holy Ghost. We get a little bit apprehensive and maybe even a little afraid, maybe a little bit nervous when someone talks about the Holy Spirit. And we think if we talk about the Holy Spirit, we might act funny. We might have some strange language. We might be weird if somebody talks about the Holy Spirit. Someone says, "Preacher, if we talk too much about the Holy Spirit, we might get excited." Well, hallelujah, some of us need to be. A man said to me one time, "Preacher, don't say much about the Holy Spirit. We don't want to get too far out on a limb." Listen, friend, we've not even climbed the tree. And here's what I've learned, Dr. Wayne. You don't have to be afraid of any word you find in that Bible. If Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, we ought to talk about the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be afraid of the word tithing. It's in the Bible. You don't have to be afraid of the word predestinate. It's in the Bible. You don't have to be afraid of the word elect. It's in the Bible. You don't have to be afraid of the word whosoever. It's in the Bible. So here's what I'm learning. If Jesus talks about the Holy Ghost, I want to talk about the Holy Ghost. I need to know more about Him because He knows everything about me. And here's what I like. When the Holy Spirit is doing His work, He'll never call attention to Himself. He never brags on Himself. He never promotes Himself. He always brags on Jesus and always promotes Jesus. You ever been in one of those services where the power of God falls, the glory of God falls, and everyone is focused on the Lamb of God? You know why that is? Because the Holy Spirit is doing His job. Now I want to talk to you tonight about the ministry of the Comforter. Everyone today, it seems, is looking for some kind of comfort. Some degree of comfort. They want something to numb the pain and ease the struggles. Seems like everyone just wants to be comforted. An addict wants to be comforted. Those with chronic pain, they're looking for comfort. Those who struggle with depression and anxiety, they're looking for comfort. And many times, they look for comfort in the things of the world, in all the wrong places. They look for comfort in an alcohol bottle or a pill bottle. They look for comfort in unhealthy relationships and illicit websites. But How many of you know that the world never satisfies? The world will never make you content. There's a song, Brother David, years ago. This is what it said. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I go to the hospital all the time, and seems like everybody in Northwest Georgia's sick. They're hurting. They're in pain. And I go into that hospital room, and that medical personnel, they're just trying their best to give them some degree of comfort. I appreciate the hospice organization. The hospice organization comes in and cares for the terminally ill in the last stages of life. And just before they make the crossing, the hospice nurses come in and doctors come in. And Brother Wayne, if I've heard this one time, I've heard it a thousand. This is what they'll tell me off to the side. Preacher, there's nothing else left for us to do. We're just going to try our best to make them comfortable. And then it happens. They close their eyes in death and slip off into eternity. And us pastors are trying to come up with words of comfort. What can I say? How can I encourage them? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then, Pastor, we go down to the funeral service and we quote the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then, Brother Mike, we might even get to talking about the reunion of the rapture when Jesus comes and we see Him and all of our loved ones gone on before. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But don't forget the last verse. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You may be here tonight, and I don't know your story. You don't know my story, but we've all got stuff. I want to encourage you. God has a ministry of comfort. That's what He does. Did you know that God the Father is a comforter? 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, here it is, and the God of all comfort. He's not just the God of comfort, y'all. He's the God of all comfort. And He comforts us in our tribulation. And the same comfort that He's given to us, Paul says that we are to give to others. Comfort one another. So God the Father is a comforter. But then I must say this. God the Son is a comforter. Oh yes. For 3.5 years, Jesus was with His disciples up close and personal. He walked with them and talked with them. They could see Him. They could touch Him. They could feel Him. They could experience Him. Jesus was their own personal comforter. But now, earth-shattering news. Jesus is about to rock their world. This is what Jesus says. I'm leaving you. I'm going away. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to my Father. And where I'm going, you can't go. At least not now.
And can't you just imagine? Their hearts must have been heavy, aching and breaking, grief-stricken, sad, sorrowful. Jesus, you mean you're going away and you're going to leave us all alone to our own devices? We're going to have to try to figure it out for ourselves. We're going to be alienated and isolated, Jesus. You mean you're going away? But then Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan without a child. I'm going to ask the Father. I'm going to talk to the Father. I'm going to pray to the Father. And He will send you another Comforter. So I just want to close now by making a few observations about the Holy Spirit. I want to ask a question. Where is God the Father while God the Father is in heaven? Where is God the Son? He's in heaven. In fact, the Bible says that He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. God the Father is in heaven. God the Son is in heaven. But God the Holy Spirit is alive and moving and flowing and operating right here on planet Earth. In fact, He's here tonight. The most sensitive person in the choir is the Holy Spirit. The most sensitive person out there in the congregation before me is the Holy Spirit. Did you know He's a person and He has feelings? And sometimes His feelings get hurt. Sometimes He gets offended. Did you know that He is a person? Let me just share this. I'm going to give you my three thoughts and then I'm going to be done. I'm a Southern Baptist preacher. I'm a pastor. And I love that. But before I did that, I was a school teacher. I taught for 9 years. I got a master's degree and a specialist degree. And then God called me to preach and just messed everything up. He messed up my plans. I love what I do. But I remember, Brother Herman, it was down in Harrelson County in a place called Buchanan, just above Bremen. I was doing my student teaching way back in the 90s. And I was with a teacher. He was supposed to be my mentor. He was going to show me the ropes. And I found out after a while that he was a Jehovah's Witness. And I thought, Lordy be. I am a Southern Baptist born and bred. One day I'll be Southern Baptist dead. And you mean I'm going to be yoked up with a Jehovah's Witness? And I thought, there's bound to be trouble. Well, there never was. I liked him. He liked me. And one day we had one issue. He said, I want you to teach a lesson today about the three religions of the Middle East, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And I got to talking about Christianity. Boy, I hammered on Christianity. I talked about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I kept referring to the Holy Spirit as He and Him. And after the class, he asked me, he said, why did you keep referring to the Holy Spirit as a He? I said, because the Holy Spirit is a He. He said, why did you keep calling the Holy Ghost Him? I said, because the Holy Ghost is Him. I need to say this, the Holy Spirit is not an it, not a thing, not a fog, not a force, not a metaphysical abstraction, not a psychological state of mind. In fact, if you got your Bibles open, John chapter 14 and verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. So I just want to leave you with these thoughts, and then Brother Mike's going to come and preach. I want to talk to you about the declaration of the Comforter. The declaration of the Comforter. Who is He? Jesus makes an announcement. He declares that the Father will send the Comforter. Look at verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. Brother Wayne, there's a verse that I've been studying a little bit and trying to develop some thoughts. I think it's Luke 11, about verse number 11, verse 12. And Jesus says something like this: there's a son and a father. And the son, if he asks his father for bread, will the father give his son a stone? Of course not. If the son asks the father for fish, will the father give to the son a snake? Of course not. And then Jesus says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? So Jesus says that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. In verse number 16, He shall give you another Comforter. Now, let me teach for just a moment. Dr. Milliken knows this. Brother Wayne knows this. All these preachers already know this. Some of you students of Scripture know that the word Comforter is the Greek word paraclete. The parakletos. Literally, one that comes alongside us and helps us and props us up. One who lifts us and encourages us. An advocate. An intercessor. A helper. A daysman. A go-between. A mediator. Did you know that I've got an intercessor down here, and I've got an intercessor up there? I've got an intercessor in heaven, the Son of God, and I've got an intercessor on earth, the Spirit of God. And that paraclete, Holy Spirit Comforter, comes alongside us and helps us. Did you know we use that prefix para all the time in our vocabulary? A paralegal is someone that works side by side an attorney or a lawyer, legal counsel. What about a paramedic? Someone that works alongside a doctor or a nurse, medical staff. A paraprofessional, a parapro, works side by side a classroom teacher. Watch this. The Holy Spirit has a side-by-side ministry with God the Father and God the Son. They all work together in tandem. There's no conflict in the Godhead. There's no contradiction in the Godhead. They're always together. Tri, which means three, unity. Tri-unity. Trinity. Brother Mike Stone, just a few weeks ago, I was at that student camp for Emmanuel's young people there in St. Simon's. And you know what I believe? You're not going to believe what I preached. I preached about the Trinity. God is triune and you are too. Now let me say this. Somebody said, preacher, can you fully explain the Trinity? Nope. And you can't either. Preacher, can you fully understand the Trinity? Nope. And you can't either. No one can. But I believe the Trinity. I believe in the blessed Trinity. God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In fact, we find the Trinity in the first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You say, that just says God. But the Hebrew word for God is Elohim, which is the plural name for God. Plural, we just got one God. But He's made known in three persons. So you could read it this way. In the beginning, God the Father created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God the Son created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God the Holy Spirit created the heaven and the earth. In fact, you read about the Holy Spirit in the second verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Genesis 1:26. This is before humanity. This is before mankind. This is before Adam and Eve. And God said, let us make man in our image. There, those are plural pronouns. Who's he talking to? He's talking to all three persons of himself. I need to say this. The Holy Spirit is God. Did you know when Jesus is speaking in verse 16, you've got God the Son talking about God the Father sending God the Holy Spirit. That's all three. That's the Trinity. Did you know when Jesus was baptized, there was a meeting of the Trinity? God the Son was being baptized by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit of God descended like a dove, as a dove, and landed on Jesus. And a voice from heaven, the voice of the Father, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Watch this. When you pray every day, all three persons of the Godhead converge. When you pray, beloved, there is a meeting of the Godhead. We pray to the Father. We pray through the Son. We pray in the Holy Ghost. And then don't leave the Holy Spirit out of soteriology. When we get saved in our salvation, watch this. God the Father thought it. God the Son bought it. God the Holy Spirit wrought it. Brother Mike, you would say it this way. God the Father planned it. God the Son purchased it. God the Holy Spirit presents it. So we see the declaration of the Comforter, who He is. But then, watch this one. I want to talk about the location of the Comforter. The location of the Comforter. Not just who He is, but where He is. Here's my question. Where is the Holy Spirit? Well, go back to our passage. Look at the last part of verse number 16. That He may abide with you forever. Did you know that once He moves in, He's never moving out? I am the house of God. I'm not the hotel of God. He doesn't check in and check out. No, friend, He comes to stay. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people. In the New Testament, God has a people for His temple. Can you see me right now? I am the house of God. You say, "You don't look so hot to me." You're hollering and sweating and spitting everywhere. But God lives in me. The same God that created this universe lives in me. The same God that created everything in 6 days, why, He lives in me. The God that parted the waters of the Red Sea, He lives in me. And then it gets even better. Look at the last part of verse 17. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. See, when I was a 9-year-old boy, the Holy Spirit moved in. And He doesn't want just to be a resident. He wants to be the president. He wants to run the house. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would temporarily come upon believers. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit permanently comes to dwell within believers. I think it's Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. Here's a verse I'm working on, Dr. Milliken. I want you to explain it to me, but let me just read it to you. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So Brother Wayne, if I follow that verse right, the Spirit of God is within me, the Spirit of Jesus is within me, and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is within me. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ever preachers use this illustration? That little girl asked her Sunday school teacher one Sunday morning, "Teacher, if big old God lives in little old me, won't he stick out somewhere?" I want to say, yes, he will. I heard a great preacher make this statement, and I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. He's omnipresent. If God ever moves, he bumps into himself because he's already there. Hey, the Holy Spirit is in Lowndes County. The Holy Spirit is in Pierce County, Brother Mike. The Holy Spirit is in Polk County, where I pastor. The Holy Spirit is in Georgia. The Holy Spirit, if you go below here, he's in Florida. I'm in Alabama all the time. In fact, Brother Herman, I graduated from a university in Alabama. I won't call which one, but the Holy Spirit is in Alabama. The Holy Spirit is in Tennessee. The Holy Spirit's in North Carolina and South Carolina. Let me just say it this way, Southerners. The Holy Spirit's in the South. You say, is the Holy Spirit in the North? Yeah, but not as much as in the South. Somebody from New Jersey got offended. Oh, listen, the Holy Spirit's in the North too. You say, is the Holy Spirit in California? I think so. Is the Holy Spirit in Washington, D.C.? I'm not sure there. But the Holy Spirit's in North America. And I found out something, Brother Wayne. When I went on a mission trip to Lima, Peru, we got on that bus and went up that Andes mountain range 4 or 5 hours to a little village called La Huitamba. And those little precious Peruvian children gave their life to Christ. And I found out, y'all, that the Holy Spirit is also in South America. And the Holy Spirit is in Asia. And the Holy Spirit is in Africa. And the Holy Spirit is in Europe and the uttermost part of the earth. And I need to say this loud and clear. That same Holy Spirit is in me. And he's in Dr. Wayne Robertson. And he's in Jack Price, who's been singing all of these years. And he's in Brother Herman. And he's in Dr. Milliken. And he's in Mike Stone. But he's not just in the preachers. He's inside every Christian believer. Well, I'm trying to hurry. I got one more and I'll be done. We see, first of all, the declaration of the Comforter, who he is. Then we see the location of the Comforter, where he is. But then I close with this one. Lastly, the vocation of the Comforter. The vocation, that's another word for a job. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? What is the function and the operation of the Holy Spirit? What is his job? What is his work? What does he do? I just leave you with this. The Holy Spirit is a corrector. He's a corrector. In John 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," notice this, "he shall teach you all things." The greatest teacher I've ever had is the Holy Spirit. He's always teaching me something. He'll teach me all things. And he's a corrector. Now, Brother Wayne, it's his job to reveal truth. And as he reveals truth, he also reveals untruth. He will expose error. And by the way, you better be careful with a half-truth. You might get the wrong half. A half-truth is a whole lie. And I've just got the point in my life where I can't just listen to any old preacher. Somebody said, well, I don't know about his doctrine or his theology, but he's got some pretty good life application. Thank God for life application. I try to preach it myself, but if you don't have good doctrine and you don't have good theology, it cancels out life application. Have you ever been listening to a preacher and that preacher says something that doesn't just sit well with you, that could be the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure about that. I better look into that. I better check that out. I believe that's the Holy Spirit saying, be careful, danger, warning. The Holy Spirit is the corrector. And then I would say this, the Holy Spirit is a convictor. Let me just put it in Northwest Georgia terms. The Holy Ghost will bust your hide. This is plain talk. Sometimes the Holy Spirit takes you out behind the woodshed, and there is bloodshed at the woodshed. And Hebrews chapter 12 calls it the chastening, the chastisement of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, Brother Wayne, I'm sorry to admit this, to come to your church and confess in front of all these people one of my flaws. Here it is. I don't struggle with alcohol. That's not my temptation. I don't struggle with drug abuse. I don't struggle with running around with wild women. I've always been faithful with my wife, to my wife. But I struggle sometimes with gossip. In fact, I'm drawn to it. I'm attracted to it. Tell me more. Did you hear about that? I know we disguise it as prayer request, but it's still gossip. Did you hear about Brother Wayne? Just pray for him. Didn't hear it from me. I'm sorry to say that. Got two of my best church members here tonight. Drove all the way from Cobb County. Mike and Doris Lemming. I'm sorry to tell you that sometimes your pastor struggles with gossip. But there's a Holy Ghost within me that convicts me. Stop asking so many questions, preacher. Stop trying to find out more. Just pray for that person. Quit trying to get all the gory details. I'm so thankful that I have a convictor. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit won't let me get by with much. Sometimes they ask me, preacher, is it a sin for me to do this? Is it wrong to do this? Can I go here? Can I go? I've stopped answering, and this is what I say. Ask the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. And if you have to ask, there's probably already a doubt. And here's what I was taught years ago, when in doubt, don't. The Holy Spirit is he's a corrector, he's a convictor. And then I'm going to share this little personal story, and then I'll be done. Brother Wayne, growing up, my hero was my grandmother, my granny, that's what I called her. And she was one of those doting kind of grandmas, you know. I'm gonna pet you, I'm going to feed you. Come on, honey, and let me just love on you and hug you. And I never did any wrong in her eyes. I loved my granny. She loved me. And as she got older, we kept having some problems, and she kept falling and having accidents, and she broke this and she broke that. We're trying our best to keep her at home. You know how that goes. We want her to keep her independence, but it got to the point where it just wasn't safe anymore, and oh, we hated to do it so much. But we had to put my granny in a home, and I thought, I don't want my granny to be like some people that never has any visitors. Nobody checks on them. Nobody goes to see them. So our family, we made an agreement. We said, somebody will go see her every day. And it was my mother lots of times, and my aunt. But most of the time, even when it wasn't my day, I would just go because I wanted to see my granny. I just wanted to fellowship with my granny. And when I walked into that nursing home room, I would always say, how you doing, granny? And she would always say this, I'm freezing to death. Do they think we're Eskimos? It's like an igloo in here. It is so cold. And Brother Wayne, I'd reach out and grab her hand, and it'd be like a chunk of ice. I looked at the thermostat. It was 80 degrees. There's about 4 or 5 blankets on her bed. She's cold. She's freezing to death. Every time I said, how you doing? I'm freezing that I'm cold. Well, one day I walked into my granny's room, and I saw two members from our church, Marcia and Beth. And I said, hey, what are y'all doing in here? And they said, well, Brother Barry, our mother is going to be admitted here, and she's going to be a roommate with your granny. I said, well, praise the Lord, that'll be a great arrangement. I said, when I come see my granny, I'll also visit with your mama. And I never knew the mama's name. Everybody in Cedartown just called her Boots, Miss Boots. It was a nickname, but it stuck, and that's all I knew her as, Miss Boots. So when I'd go see my granny, I would always say, how you doing, Miss Boots? And just trying to find something to have conversation. And I noticed, Brother Mike, that there was a sheet on Miss Boots' bed, and it was a floral print, had colorful flowers, and it was just very pretty. And I used that as my conversation piece every day when I'd go visit my granny. I would first say hello to Miss Boots. Miss Boots, I like your sheet on your bed. And she'd always smile and nod at me. And every day I'd say, Miss Boots, I sure do like that sheet on your bed. She'd nod at me. Well, after a few weeks, one day I went to visit my granny, and Marcia and Beth, Miss Boots' daughters, were in there. And I said, hey, I tell Miss Boots all the time that I sure do like that sheet on her bed. And they said, oh, preacher, it's not a sheet. It's a comforter. They said, come over here. They said, fill of it. Well, I reached down there, Brother Wayne. I had never really paid a lot of attention. And I grabbed a hold of that thing, and it was puffy and thick. It was a comforter. And I asked Miss Boots, I said, Miss Boots, do you ever get cold? She said, no, I'm always fine. I grabbed a hold of her hands and just as warm. And I thought about that. I thought, you know what? Miss Boots is under the comforter. She's warm and snuggly and secure because of that comforter. Well, a few weeks went by, and Marcia and Beth called me and said, preacher, we need you to come. Our mama, Miss Boots, just died. And I remember going into that room, and they were so upset and weeping, and she was up in her 90s. She lived a good life. And I said, I'm so sorry. And a couple of days went by, and Marcia and Beth said, preacher, we only think it's right that we don't want to keep the comforter. You always said so much about it. We're just going to give it to your grandmother. It's just already here. Just let her have it. We took it home and washed it. And why don't you just give it to your granny? And I said, oh, that'll be so sweet. And thank you so much. That was so kind. And Brother Wayne, I remember that day I just spread out that comforter, put it on my granny's bed. And I went home. The next day I came to check on granny. I said, how you doing, granny? Big old smile came on her face. And this is what she said. I said, how'd you sleep? She said, oh, slept good, like a snug as a bug in a rug. And I grabbed a hold of her hands, and they was just as warm. And I got to thinking about that. Miss Boots had to go away so that my granny could experience the comforter. And the same comforter that was keeping Miss Boots warm and snugly and secure is now the same comforter that's keeping my granny warm and snugly and secure. And she never complained about being cold ever again. A few months went by, and boy, I got that call that I had been dreading for so long. In the middle of the night, they called. I was her power of attorney. She looked to me to do everything. She said, that lady, the nurse said, we need you to come. We need you to come. Your granny just died. Brother Wayne, I was so heartbroken, and my granny was 91. She lived a good life, but I didn't want her to go away. I'm going to be all alone. And I've always been afraid to touch a dead body. I don't know why, but that night, I wasn't afraid. I just laid over there on my granny and hugged on my granny, and I quoted John 14, and I quoted the 23rd Psalm because she would quote them with me. She could quote as many verses as I can. And I just began to thank the Lord for my friend. And her face was already getting cold, but I slid my hand down under that comforter, and her body was still warm. And well, after a couple of days went by, my mother and my aunt said, Barry, we think it's only right that you take the comforter. So I went home that night, Brother Herman, and I just wanted to feel close to my granny, and I spread that comforter out over my bed. And that night, I didn't just feel close to my granny, I felt close to God. And the same comforter that kept her warm and snugly and secure is now keeping me warm and snugly and secure. Can I say this? Thank God for the ministry of the Comforter. Lord, we love you. Thank you for our little Bible study tonight. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that He's the one that lives in me. God the Father, you're in heaven. God the Son's in heaven. But God the Holy Spirit's at Morningside tonight. And there may be someone that needs to be comforted tonight. And I'm thankful that you are the God of all comfort. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.